This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And it was 10 little candidates, one very big ego, and a pretty interesting night for Fox News and the GOP. While much of the narrative was about who would get the plain-speaking Donald Trump, Fox News questioners, or fellow debaters, it was also a pretty standard political event. There were familiar faces last night in Cleveland attacking the familiar Democrat. Here's Florida Senator Marco Rubio.
If I'm our nominee, how is Hillary Clinton going to lecture me about living paycheck to paycheck? I was raised paycheck to paycheck. How is she going to lecture me about student loans? I owed over $100,000 just 4 years ago. If I'm our nominee, we will be the party of the future.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker tried to sell his foreign policy creds.
This is not just bad with Iran. This is bad with ISIS. It is tied together. And once and for all, we need a leader who's going to stand up and do something about it. It's yet another example of the failed foreign policy of the Obama-Clinton doctrine.
Foreign policy was also something Texas Senator Ted Cruz was selling.
Leading from behind is a disaster. We have abandoned and alienated our friends and allies, and our enemies are stronger. Radical Islam is on the rise. Iran's on the verge of acquiring a nuclear weapon. China is waging cyber warfare against America. Russia, General Soleimani, you just mentioned, the Iranian general, is the head of the al-Quds forces. He's directly responsible for the murder of over 500 American servicemen in Iraq. And part of this Iranian deal was lifting the international sanctions on General Soleimani. The day General Soleimani flew back from Moscow to Iran was the day we believe that Russia used cyber warfare against the Joint Chiefs.
Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. Dr. Ben Carson, the only African-American on the stage, had perhaps the best line of the night, a comment on his personal resume and a commentary on Washington, D.C. culture.
I'm the only one to separate Siamese twins. The only one to operate on babies while they were still in the mother's womb. The only one to take out half of a brain, although you would think if you go to Washington that someone had beat me to it. But
not bad, Ben Carson. And Jeb Bush, who's looking to take the job in the White House, another member of his family to take that job in the White House in a week when 215,000 payroll jobs were added to the U.S. economy and the Federal Reserve looks poised to possibly raise interest rates. Jeb Bush, the hopeful centrist, attacked the most familiar person of all there in Cleveland. He tried to leave Cleveland the most credible of the non-Trumps.
Mr. Trump's language is divisive. I want to win. I want one of these people here, or the ones at 5 o'clock, to be the next president of the United States. We're not going to win by doing what Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton do each and every day, dividing the country, saying, creating a grievance kind of environment. We're going to win when we unite people with a hopeful, optimistic message.
Among the entertaining tweets during the proceedings came from someone who might have wished he was back here. Former Republican candidate Herman Cain tweeted, blah, blah, blah. But the big question last night was whether Ohio can be in the GOP column in 2016. And that was hard to know from last night's proceedings. But someone who might know, joining us is Matt Borges, chairman of the Ohio Republican Party. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So now, I was born in Dayton, Ohio, and I've spent a lot of time in Ohio. And I have to think that a lot of Ohioans looking at that candidate forum and then the debate last night might be thinking, boy, we need to narrow this down pretty quickly. This spectacle isn't good for the party. What do you think?
I think the exact opposite. I think we had the first opportunity to take a look at all of our candidates last night, hear their vision, and broadcast that to a live national audience of millions of people. And it's about which vision for the future, I think, is going to lead us back in the right direction.
What do you make of your favorite son, Governor Kasich? He did pretty well coming out. The latest to announce his candidacy, and he had some lively success at the debate, it seemed.
I don't think there's any question about that. He was warmly received by the crowd. He's doing well in polls in New Hampshire. He's up to second place there already, one of the states that determines kind of the front runner sometimes for who our nominee may very well be. I thought he had a couple of the lines of the night.
The court has ruled, and I said we'll accept it. And guess what? I just went to a wedding of a friend of mine who happens to be gay. Because somebody doesn't think the way I do, doesn't mean that I can't care about them or I can't love them. So if one of my daughters happened to be that, of course I would love them and I would accept them.
You know, Republicans care so much about families, and what his answer about how he would stand by his family members, I thought, to me, was such a special and important moment. You know, Governor Kasich's got a great record. He's the only candidate on the stage or who balanced the federal budget, done it at the national and state level, has national security experience also, and he's distinguishing himself just by talking about his record.
So he's your favorite?
Well, obviously he's our governor, and he's just done such a great job here. You look at that group and you can see a handful of folks who you know probably aren't going to be back here in Cleveland a year from now.
Such as?
Probably the guy standing in the middle. But you can also...
Now, is that a hope or is that a fact?
Well, I have been through these many, many times, and you know that our party is going to eventually coalesce around a candidate who is prepared and capable and qualified to go through the rigors of a year-long test of what the media and what the public and what the Democrats are going to put us all through. But there are also some that you can envision really picking up that mantle and going through that trial and being able to survive that. And one of those folks, without any question in my mind, would be John Kasich.
What about Jeb Bush?
I think Jeb has a compelling message and could be a good candidate as well. But we'll see kind of how he emerges from the field as well.
He seemed a little unprepared last night, kind of not exactly polished.
You know, I think sometimes in those forums it's a little bit difficult to get everything across that you want to say. I looked at a breakdown of the 2 hours. Each of the candidates only had about 8 or 9 minutes of talking time apiece. And so there'll be other opportunities down the road. And so we'll see how it all goes on into the future. And I'll tell you from the Ohio Republican Party standpoint, that listening to the very first answer, when you had one candidate saying that they wouldn't support the eventual nominee.
You're standing on a Republican primary debate.
I fully understand.
The place where the RNC will give the nominee the nod.
I fully understand.
And that experts say an independent run would almost certainly hand the race over to Democrats and likely another Clinton. You can't say tonight that you can make that pledge.
I cannot say. I have to respect the person that, if it's not me, the person that wins. If I do win and I'm leading by quite a bit, that's what I want to do. I can totally make that pledge. If I'm the nominee, I will pledge I will not run as an independent.
That's not going to get him anywhere in terms of getting support from our state party. A total non-starter. This stuff isn't about individuals. This is about the greater good. This is about the party. This is about the country. And while we recognize that none of these folks would be running if they didn't think that they had the right vision, they have to sell their vision to the voters, and that vehicle is the party. And if those voters don't like what they're hearing, it's incumbent upon those candidates to then accept that and move forward, not kick and scream and decide they're going to just go forward anyway.
All right, so you want to, you think Kasich's the easiest way to deliver Ohio to the Republicans in the fall of 2016, it sounds like. Trump's got to go away, it sounds like. What do you think about immigration? Trump claims that he invented the issue.
If it weren't for me, you wouldn't even be talking about illegal immigration, Chris. You wouldn't even be talking about it.
I actually kind of found that another amusing thing. I think we've been talking about immigration now for a couple of decades that had nothing to do with any other individual bringing it up. An issue that's got to be resolved, that seriously has had a lot of different folks looking at it. George W. Bush had a proposal that's similar to what a lot of the folks are talking about doing now. Some point in time, we're going to get someone in Washington who actually is going to do the things that Barack Obama promised he was going to do.
All right. So let's talk about Marco Rubio. Do you think he carries the flag on immigration? He seemed to be less clear than on other occasions regarding what he thinks about immigration policy.
Yeah, which has been a strong point for him, I think, at other points in time, something that he has embraced. And you wonder sometimes where he feels like he needs to go with that. I don't get into the other candidates or really any of the candidates' strategies and whatnot. So we'll just have to see what he ends up feeling comfortable with and deciding to go in terms of pressing his message. But again, sometimes in those forums, it's hard to get everything out that you really want to get out. And so we'll hear more. We'll hear a lot more from these candidates over the next several weeks and months.
Finally, before we go, was it just me or did Chris Christie and Rand Paul seem a little desperate?
I don't know about desperate. I just think that they certainly didn't appreciate each other in at least one exchange.
I want to collect more records from terrorists, but less records from innocent Americans. The Fourth Amendment was what we fought the revolution over. John Adams said it was the spark that led to our war for independence. And I'm proud of standing for the Bill of Rights, and I will continue to stand for the Bill of Rights.
And Megan? Megan, that's a completely ridiculous answer. I want to collect more records from terrorists, but less records from other people. How are you supposed to know, Megan?
Use the Fourth Amendment.
What are you supposed
Amendment.
To? How are you supposed
Use
to?
The Fourth
no,
Amendment.
I'll tell you how you
look, get a warrant.
Let me tell you something. You
get
go,
a judge to sign
when
a
you,
warrant.
You know, Senator.
Go ahead, wait, Governor Christie, make your point.
Listen, Senator, you know, when you're sitting in a subcommittee just blowing hot air about this, you can say things like that. When you're responsible for protecting the lives of the American people, then what you need to do is
to make sure that
Here's
you use
the
problem,
system
Governor.
The way it's supposed
Here's
to work.
You almost had to wonder when one non-lawyer was lecturing another lawyer on the Constitution, where that was coming from. But look, these things happen in debates. They're sometimes for theater. When candidates' numbers start to backslide, they come out swinging. Look at Hillary Clinton. Her numbers are backsliding now. She is out there with a TV buy to try to change her numbers among her perception with women. And I'm sure that was not something that was planned even just a couple of weeks ago.
Carly Fiorina.
Did a fine job in the earlier debate, and has an important voice for the party, and we'll see where her campaign continues to go.
As Kasich's running mate,
you're getting way ahead of yourself here.
Yeah, I'm just poking you, Matt. That's my job.
That's all good.
Matt Borges, chairman of the Ohio Republican Party, commenting on the debate last night in his state of Ohio. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.